My message today is entitled Headlines. And I'm not a person that watches the news on TV. I don't read a newspaper. I read very few magazines, unless they're Christian magazines, and I don't really pay a lot of attention to the news. But one thing I do is about once or twice a day, I get my little Fox News app out, and I read the headlines. And occasionally I'll read a news story or two, but you know, I want to know, is there something going on in the world that I need to know about? Are there things to pray about? What should I know today? And so I do check it that way. So today we're going to talk about headlines and how that affects our lives. And so I'm going to ask for some audience participation to start with. If you can share a headline that you've seen maybe in the last week or two or even through the summer, what are some of the headlines that we've seen across our nation? Randy? Well, just your favorite one. Okay, the Planned Parenthood videos on abortion. Yeah, that's a kind of a frightening one. Right. It's good to know that these things are going on, to pray against them, but it's not a happy headline to read, is it? Anybody else? Alyssa? Black Lives Matter, and then the counter Blue Lives Matter. And we've seen a lot of police officers being killed or wrongly accused in the line of duty. Barb? The vote on gay marriage last summer. We're going to be talking more about that one. Helen? County clerk that is in jail for refusing to sign marriage licenses for gay couples. Larry? The first Christian to be locked up for her beliefs in the United States. So just a beginning, right? Okay, I'm gonna go to Bev. Refugees fleeing ISIS, trying to get to Europe. Alan? Number of policemen being shot has increased greatly. 24 since Ferguson happened. So, anybody else? Thank you. Okay. Right, the bakery couple that was fined for not making a cake for the gay couple. Oh, it's, you know, these headlines are kind of scary, and I'm kind of old, and I've been around for a while, and things are getting worse. You think so? Just to be fair, I thought, you know, you can't just look at the conservative news stories and stuff. So I decided, I'll look up some news stories on CNBC and CNN and some of the more liberal sources and just see what their headlines are. And so I realized that they probably have segments in their web pages of political news and world news, but I just went to see what their main headlines were, and these are some of the things I found. Super lice that are resistant to the shampoos. There was an article on car airbags. I didn't read it. An article on motion sickness. There was one on a dog, one on Batman, one on Donald Trump. 38 essential New York restaurants, one on the Pope, and then one that said, Clinton, I didn't stop to think about the email system. And my favorite, annual pillow fight at West Point, 30 injured. Sorry that. Well, those, you know, those are kind of soft. Most of them, a little political news in there, but mostly just human interest stuff. Not real important to what's going on in our world today. So some of my headlines that I had written down, and you mentioned some of them, was about the Kentucky clerk who's in jail. I admire her. She's being mocked terribly for what she's doing. But how long will it be till one of us is in a position where we hopefully take a stand and get mocked for standing on the Word of God and what we know is right? This one, spirit-filled minister under atheist attack at Auburn University. This is a guy who is a chaplain there, and he's been there since, I believe, the late 90s, and he has been sharing the gospel and getting people baptized, and all of a sudden they're attacking him and saying he's forcing people to be baptized and forcing people to be Christians, and it's totally weird. Another one, Iran expects advanced Russian air defense missiles by the end of the year. This is an important one, Iran with their missiles. I had one about the Texas sheriff being killed. Hillary Clinton compares GPOers to a terrorist group. You know, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, doesn't really matter, but the point is that I think what she's getting at is that if you're a Christian, you're a terrorist. And eventually that's going to come down to us, that if we identify with Jesus Christ, we are terrorists. And then another favorite one, call me Z, not he. University wants everyone to use gender-inclusive pronouns. So people can no longer be he's or she's, they have to be Z's. Ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. So we read these headlines, and you know, I can't help but think, America is in a little bit of trouble here. And we can expect, I think, some shaking and some judgment. And one of the first things that we need to do is look at what time is it. Now, you know, we operate on time, and so we get up in the morning, what time is it? I gotta get up, what time is it? I gotta go to work, you know, time for dinner, time for this meeting, all the things that we place into our schedules during the day. But we also have to look at a historic timetable and be aware of what time it is. In history, and I'll just divide it into three main events. Creation, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ the first time, and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ the second time. He's coming, and we're somewhere in between those two. I think we're pretty close to him coming again. He is coming, and Jesus actually taught us and his disciples how to know what time it was. If we look at Matthew 24, if you want to turn to that, you may. We're just going to read some of that. Jesus had been teaching in the temple grounds, and he had told them that the buildings were going to be demolished. And then later, as he's sitting with his disciples, they come and say, when, in verse 3, when will this happen? What sign will signal your return in the end of the world? Jesus told them, don't let anyone mislead you. Or do not be deceived, it says in some translations, and actually he says that four times in this chapter. Do not be deceived. So it must be important if he said it four times. Many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many. You will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Have we heard of wars and threats of wars? Yeah, and I, you know, that's maybe true 20, 30 years ago also, but it's increasing and maybe getting a little more intense. verse 7, nation will war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world, but all of this is only the first of birth pains and more to come. Just talking about birthing pains, I didn't personally go through child labor, but from what I've heard, it starts, you know, maybe as a backache or something, and then it just gets more and more intense, and the contractions come faster and faster, and the pain gets more and more until the baby is born. And this is what Jesus is saying, is that these things are going to get closer and closer and more intense before he comes. So we need to be watching for that to see what time it is. In verse 9 it says, then you will be arrested, this county clerk was arrested, persecuted and killed. Look at the people in Syria, the Christians there who are being killed because they're Christians and they don't want to convert to Islam. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. When I look at the headlines, I see sin as being rampant everywhere. And the, you know, just the headline about the abortion clinics, that's so cold. You know, how can people be that cruel to be killing these little babies and selling their parts? It's just so bad. Number 13, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. There's different aspects of the time. There's the spiritual. It says that there will be false messiahs. There will be divisions among the church. People will turn away from the faith. And I've seen people turning away from the faith even now. I mean, people that were Christians or are Christians, I believe, but they're just kind of turning away. And I think what the problem is that they don't really know the scriptures. They're accepting some of these social agendas and things because they think it seems okay, but that's because they don't know the scriptures. And if we studied the scriptures a little more, we would know what God says about some of these things. You know, just the fact that there's such a widespread acceptance of gay marriage in our nation, and I will emphasize that God loves gay people. And he doesn't look at homosexual sin as being any worse than heterosexual sin or any other kind of sin. Everybody, you know, God loves the sinner, and we are all sinners. It says that all have fallen short of the glory of God and sinned, and that's me and you, and everyone in the whole world has fallen short. And yet, we can't accept the sin. You know, the idea is that you work on it, you repent, change. But our nation has accepted the idea of gay marriage. We have false prophets. I don't know if you ever read some of the things on social media and stuff about conspiracy theories and all that kind of thing, people predicting the future and saying what's going to happen. There's people saying that, you know, the world's going to end. People are saying there's a mile and a half wide comet that's going to hit the Earth in September. Well, you know, if the Earth is destroyed, then the Bible isn't true, because there's still a lot of stuff that has to happen. So when we hear those kinds of things, we can say, no, I know that's not true, because that's not what God's Word says. When I'm sure you've heard about this, that when you are studying counterfeit $20 bills or $100 bills, you don't study the counterfeit, you study the real one so that you know it well enough. So when you see the counterfeit, you know it. And that's the way we need to be with the Word of God, is that we know, we study the Word of God. We study the truth so we know what the real thing is, what the real truth is, And then when we hear these things on the news or social media or from friends or whatever, we can say, that's not true, that's counterfeit. Because I've studied the real one, and the real one says that's not true. Very important. Also, in this Matthew 24, it talks about earthquakes, and we can attribute that as being environmental things that are going on in our world. There has been an increase in earthquakes. There has been an increase in hurricanes, in tornadoes, drought. Many people will say, oh, that's always been going on, but it's increasing. And if you go, you can actually go on some of these weather sites and look at the statistics. I didn't come with those. Well, I wrote down a few. But you can look at the statistics and see how they've increased. Between 2011 and 2012, tornadoes doubled. That's a big amount. In 2014, actually the amount of tornadoes decreased, which was interesting. But then suddenly on April 14th, there were 47 confirmed touchdowns of tornadoes. In 2014, there were 13 6.5 or above earthquakes. And, you know, so you can do some study on that, but it is increasing. And Jesus said that it would, and that we would hear these things. God is trying to warn us. You know, 9/11 was a warning to our nation. Katrina was a warning. We have to remember that God's word is our sure foundation. We also see in there some personal things about don't be deceived, stand on the word of God. He is your foundation. And I'm not trying to give guys a downer today. There really is good news on the other end. So, you know, I'm just trying to point some of these things out. And then we're also supposed to watch, in order to know what time it is, we watch the nation of Israel, because that's God's nation. And when we see things happening in Israel, we know that things are changing and coming, getting closer to the second coming of Jesus. It refers to, Israel is often referred to as the fig tree. Watch the fig tree. And Israel became a nation in 1967. And then, you know, it's close. So if it was close in 1967, it's got to be even closer now, right? So when we go, I'm just going to go back to the headlines a little bit. And I want to talk a little bit about the marriage thing and the decision that was made by our Supreme Court. Marriage belongs to God. He is the one that created it. It is his. He gave it. And when we take things that belong to God and desecrate them, there's judgment that comes from that. An example of that is in Daniel 5. If you know the story of the Jewish people were brought to, conquered by Babylon, and they were brought to Babylon, and all the stuff from the temple came too, the gold and the silver and those things that were in the temple were consecrated to the Lord. Those were his. They were for worship and sacrifice to him, and they were dedicated to him. And so when they brought those to Babylon, and Nebuchadnezzar had this big party and had them bring in the things from the temple, and they used those things to drink and have their party, they were desecrating those things. And that's, you know, go back and read the story about the hand that comes out and writes on the wall. I mean, that's like crazy weird, but that actually happened and pronounces judgment. God does not take that lightly when we desecrate things that belong to him. And now we have desecrated marriage. So we've kind of crossed a line, and when that happened, if you're aware of what was going on in our nation, the White House was lit up that night with a rainbow, the color of the rainbows. If you were on Facebook, people were changing their profile pictures to with the rainbow over their profile picture to signify a celebration of this decision, that this was a really good thing. And also the tower in New York that was built on Ground Zero, the spire of that was lit up with a rainbow. So you think about that. What is the rainbow a sign of? That was God's sign to us. The rainbow belongs to him, and here we're taking the rainbow and totally turning it around to celebrate evil. So we crossed a line, I think, this summer. I really do. And, you know, none of you people in this room crossed that line, but our nation did, and the judges did. And we live here, and we are subject to whatever judgment comes upon our nation. So this could be a really hard time in our lives, a time of trial and judgment. However, it can also be our greatest hour. Then when judgment comes and persecution comes, there's often huge revival, and people turn to the Lord, and it can be a really great time. And we'll talk about that some more, but just looking ahead into the month of September, and we're already in there a week, but at one time I had seen this article that said 12 things that will happen in September. And then I read it and thought it was kind of interesting, and then I lost it, and I was trying to find it again this week, and actually I found all kinds of articles, 37 things that will happen in September, and stuff like that. So it's kind of interesting if you want to Google it. And these are things that will actually happen. But one, if any of you are familiar with the Shemitah year, every 7 years God has, just like he has 6 days of work and then the seventh day is for rest, he has 6 years of work and then there's a seventh year of rest. I say hallelujah, wouldn't that be great if we observed that? And so this week, 2014, from September 2014 to September 2015 is the Shemitah year. And historically, on the last day of the Shemitah year, there is some kind of judgment that comes. And in the United States, that was seen, you can go way back, but it was seen at 9/11. That was the end of the Shemitah year. In 2008, which was the next one, there was the biggest drop in the history of the United States in the stock market. It usually has to do with financial things. And so now we're facing the Shemitah on September 13th, which the end of that year, which is a Sunday. So the stock market isn't going to fall, but it could on Friday or Monday. It's kind of interesting to see what will happen. Some other things that are happening in September is that there's the 70th General Assembly of the United Nations. And in that, France is expected to present a resolution to the UN Security Council to divide Israel. Ooh, God is not going to be happy about that. And there is expected to be a peace treaty proposed that Israel and the Palestinian Authority will have to sign. And the United States is expected to go along with it. Now, how many of you know that when we bless Israel, those that bless Israel will be blessed, and those that curse Israel will be cursed. And all along, our country has been for Israel, but now we're kind of turning against her, or our administration is, and it could spell some trouble for us that we're not supporting Israel anymore. So I hope that doesn't happen, but it's expected to happen. Also, the U.S. Congress will vote on the Iranian nuclear deal. That's a pretty important thing, because there again, that's showing support for Iran instead of for Israel. Israel says they're basically signing their death warrant by giving Iran a bomb. And we should be on Israel's side, not Iran, because Iran hates us. I don't know why we're supporting them. There's also many Jewish feasts in September. Ellie could probably tell us about those. And there's also many Muslim holidays in September. The Jade Helm military exercises end on the 15th of September. Those are the military exercises that have been going on this summer for urban warfare training. And here again, this is not, doesn't mean that anything's going to happen, but I think the purpose of that is that if our Constitution crumbles, there will be martial law, and the military is training for that, to be ready for that. There again, we don't know that, that may not be God's plan, but kind of interesting that that's ending. Oh, and then the Pope is coming to the United States on the 23rd. He's going to meet with President Obama to talk about wealth distribution, climate change, and religious freedom. Okay. And then the next day, on the 24th, he's addressing a joint session of Congress to talk about religious values and world peace. And then on the 25th, he's going to address the United Nations on world population control and climate change. Now, the Pope is known to be in favor of a one world order government. So we know that he supports that. He might very well be a player in the end times. I don't know exactly what his place is, but you know, these things are scheduled to happen. And then on the 28th of September is the final blood moon. If you've been watching that, there were three blood moons throughout the years of 2014 and 2015, and this will be the final one. And then the blood moon is kind of interesting because every time there's been a triad like that where three of them happen, something has happened in Israel. In fact, that's when Israel became a nation again, in 1967, when there was a triad of blood moons. So I think it's kind of fascinating to watch, to see what's going to happen in Israel and the significance of that. Okay, now we don't have to be all gloomy about this, amen? Yeah. I'm going to read a few scriptures here because that's where our joy and peace comes from. Romans 8:28, and you probably know this one by heart, and we know that God causes everyone, everything, to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. In other words, God can turn around any situation. The United States may have crossed a line, but God can turn it around. There might be some really bad things being forecast, but God can turn it around. He is able. And he loves us. You know, he's not out to destroy us. He loves us. Just in my own reading, I like to read Psalms a lot, maybe a little bit too much, because I kind of get stuck there a lot, but I'm going to go to Psalm 61. And just verse 3 says, "For you are my safe refuge, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me." You are my safe refuge. If we can just cling to those kinds of promises in God's word, he is a fortress where our enemies can't reach us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to stand on that one. In Psalm 62, verse 5, "Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken." So that if there's a shaking coming to the United States of America, that doesn't mean that we have to be shaken. Maybe we do need to be shaken if there's things that we need to repent of and change in our life, but we don't have to. We can stand on God's ability to save us and protect us. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. O my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. God is our refuge. Praise the Lord. Makes me happy. I'll go over to the New Testament, to Mark. Mark 4. And this is where Jesus has been teaching about the parable about the seeds, the farmers that sow the seeds. And when they get done, he goes back and has a discussion with his disciples because they didn't understand it. So he explains to them what it means. But down in verse 35, it says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. That's kind of neat. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, teacher, don't you care that we are going to drown? When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. And then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the wind and waves obey him. I love that passage because we can be absolutely sure that Jesus is in the boat with us. If we're in a boat that's traveling through this life, he's there. And it may seem at times like he's sleeping. Sometimes you don't feel his presence. Sometimes it doesn't seem like he's there helping you or he's not listening to your prayers. But he is there. And notice that they had to call on his name. You know, he's waiting for us to call him. Jesus, help. And so as we go through the storms in life, whether you're going through some storms right now or we're going to maybe go through some storms in September or October or next year because of the state of our nation, Jesus is in the boat with us. He's here, and we need to call on him, and he will immediately come to our aid. He can calm those storms if we trust him. He said to his disciples, do you still have no faith? I know my faith sometimes is really weak because I panic over things, but that's something that's really important, that we build our faith up in these days that we live in so that we are 100% trusting in what he can do for us. He is in our boat with us. He is in, you know, he loves the United States of America. But you don't do stuff like we're doing and get away with it. So there has to be judgment. However, it can be our finest hour. And if Jesus is in our boat and judgment comes, and maybe there's some bad things happening around us, but he's our shield, he's our protector, he has control over our enemies, think of all the really awesome things that we can be doing for him while this is going on, while judgment is going on. Mike Bickle, who is the president of the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, describes this time in history that's coming before Jesus returns as a combination of what happened in the Exodus when Moses went and got the people out of Egypt, and then the book of Acts, and taking those two things and putting them together. Amazing, amazing miracles. The gospel being spread, people coming into the fellowship of Jesus Christ, laying on hands on people and seeing them healed. I mean, if you read the book of Acts and you read the Exodus, there's just so many incredible things that God did during that time. And if we, as a nation, face some judgment and some shaking, I'm pretty sure God's going to be using us, his people, to bring more people into his kingdom. And so it could be a really, really exciting time. It could be really fascinating. I'm going to say, you know, if you're living during this time, there's a reason for it. God didn't have you live in the 2000 teens instead of in the 1800s for a reason. He has you here for a purpose. It can be amazing. And we win in the end, you know. So we don't really have anything to be too worried about. So what do? You know, we need to be teaching our children. We need to be teaching our grandchildren, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, you know, as much as we can, to just be talking about the Lord and his mercy and his grace, his forgiveness. He is the God of redemption. He loves us. When Pastor Roger asked me to speak today, I told him I would, and then he said, I have a suggestion, and I said, well, what is it? And he said, I think you should talk on prayer for the nation, because you have such a heart for that. And I do, and I told him I would think about it, I'd pray about it. But see, the thing is, unless I tell you these things and talk about these headlines, there's no reason to talk about prayer. But the answer to all of this is prayer. And I know that many of you are prayers, and we can go into our, you know, homes and pray, and God hears that and he honors that. I would personally like to see some more corporate prayer in this church and some, you know, times when we gather together and specifically pray for our nation and for the world. Sometimes it's hard because people have other priorities. Life is so busy here in this nation, and I'm just as guilty as anybody else. I get home from work. I would just as soon stay home from work than to get in the car and go to church. But it's so important, you know, so important that we pray, and we pray together, because there's a synergism there. You know, you might come with something on your heart that I'd never even thought of, and that I wouldn't think of when I'm praying at home alone. But if we come and we pray together, and you pray that thing, and then that stirs something in me, and it just, we kind of build on that. There's a lot of power in that. So prayer is the answer, and we have to go to 2 Chronicles, right? Or is it 1 Chronicles? 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14. You've heard this verse, I'm sure. Then if my people who are called by my name, I love the segments of this. If my people, are you his people? Are you called by his name? So if my people who are called by his name humble themselves. Okay, I'm going to share a few things about humbling yourself, but humbling ourselves, maybe that means putting prayer at the top of our priority list and putting aside some of these other things. Humble themselves and pray. Okay, we're going to pray, right? And seek my face. What does it mean to seek his face? Priority is sitting in his presence, reading his word, just giving him our all. It's so easy to be distracted. That's why I like to come here and pray, because then the dishes aren't here and stuff like that, that I might think I need to go turn up the air conditioner or something, you know. There's always a distraction at home. But when I come here, it's just much more peaceful and easy to concentrate on him. So if my people are called by my name and humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Now, we're looking at the headlines and saying, you know, there's all this wicked stuff going in the United States, but maybe there's some things within our lives also that we need to get rid of, and we need to turn away from those things. And God says, if you will do that, I will hear from heaven. I will hear you. You know, God a lot of times says, if. And so there's that big if there, if my people. But if you will do these things, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive your sins, and I will heal your land. That sounds like a promise to me. God could heal the United States. We could rise up and be a Christian nation again and be following hard after the Lord. And Jesus will still come, but we'll just be on the right side of the fence. You know, so we need to do these things. We need to pray. We need to humble ourselves. I found this list of preparedness. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there right now about being prepared for the end, or in case ISIS comes here, or something like that. And you know, so they give you lists like, have this much, you need a gallon of water per person per day, and you need this food. And but I found this list, and I thought this was neat, because this is about being prepared spiritually and in your heart, and I like it. There's 9 of them, and I added one more. One is, make sure your life is right with God. Amen. That's so important. If we're going to stand through any difficulties that come upon us, we need to make sure we're right with God. Number 2, whatever should not be in your life, with God's power, get it out. I think, well, I can't speak for all of you, but I would think that most of us would have something that we need to get out. But it does say with God's power. We can't do it alone without Him. Number 3, whatever should be in your life but is not, commit and consecrate yourself to it. You know that you're not doing things that you should be doing. Work on that thing. Maybe it's just love towards your family, or I don't know, how you spend your time. Consecrate yourself to that thing. Number 4, commit to growing stronger in daily prayer and time with God. I have a hard time with that one. You know, life is, it's just, oh, if I didn't have to go to work, I would pray for an hour, you know, but, well, get up an hour earlier. And it takes a commitment, and it takes determination to do some of these things. Number 5, commit to growing stronger in daily time in the Word of God. We need to be in His Word daily, just like we talked about. You need to study His Word so that you know what the counterfeit is. And that's only going to come if you are studying and spending time daily. I've started, because we have all these neat little apps on our phones and stuff now, as soon as I wake up in the morning, I get my Bible up on my phone and I just read some scripture, so that at least I do that. You know, start the day with some scripture. Don't start it with Facebook. Don't start it with looking at the weather, something, but just start it with scripture. Number 6, commit to following His will each day more than ever. Serena is following God's will. She's being obedient. If God told me to go to Texas, I don't know that I would be obedient. So it takes a commitment. I am going to do this. If the Lord tells me to do it, this is what I will do. And if He tells me to share Christ with that person that I am afraid of across the street, I'm going to do it because He told me to do it. Which goes along with number 7, commit to becoming bold in spreading the gospel to all who need to hear it. We lack boldness in this nation, and we need to just commit ourselves to that. And especially, you know, as we see the future unfolding and the time of Jesus is coming, getting closer, we want as many people to go as possible, right? And number 8, commit to living as a true disciple, all out, on fire, single-minded, totally, to become the person God made you to be. I'm not saying that any of this is easy, but it's, you know, if you sat down and just went through this every day and prayed about it, God would certainly help us. Number 9, pray for revival. Ready yourself for revival and live in revival now. If you're not revived, then work at getting revived and live in it. And then pray for revival for our nation. Pray that more and more people will turn their eyes on Jesus, and, you know, people will start to understand why some of these things are sin and should not be happening. And then I added number 10, go to the movie War Room. I think that, how many have seen that movie so far? Awesome movie. You know, I think the timing of that movie was really neat, that it came out right now. And it's, you know, it's kind of about personal prayer and praying for your family and stuff, but it really reaches out to praying for your nations too. And that movie is, it was only supposed to show for 4 nights. It was the number one movie, or number two movie last weekend. And so they extended it for another 4 days. And so my sister and I quick rushed out to take my mother to it before it was over. And then they extended it through the weekend. And so, you know, as long as people keep going, they're going to keep extending it. And it kind of gets you excited about having a strategy and praying. And so if you have an opportunity to do that, go to that movie and just use it as a tool to get started with your own prayer life. So I think that's about all I had. I want you to remember that Jesus is in your boat. This is an exciting time for us to live in. It's not doom and gloom, but it's interesting to see God's word unfolding and the things that he has talked about before his coming that are going to happening. And I'm kind of nervous, but I'm excited too. So spread the gospel and share.